Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
I hear a word coming from the Lord, and I hear it over and over. I shared it in Santa Rosa last week. I've shared it in Florida. And here's the word of the Lord. You are living now at the tipping point and the turning point. It should not bring fear. It should not bring dread. It should bring a rejoicing. For when you hear about the evil and the wickedness and what the devil is doing, you have to understand you're not looking in the right direction. For greater is the grace and glory and power of God at the tipping point and turning point than all the demons in hell and out of hell. So, now is the time to increase in intensity your prayer, your worship, your faith, your charity, your ministry of serving, your ministry of giving, your ministry of touching your city, your county, your state, and the nations of the world, because it's a tipping point, and there will be a greater demonstration of my power in the next 3 years than you have seen in all of the years that you have served the Lord. So rejoice and be glad and get ready to be involved.
Hallelujah. I just want to pray for us before you're seated. I'm thinking of the gospel story when the disciples were out on a boat and there was a great storm on that Sea of Galilee and they were panicking. And some of you are in a storm today. You're in a financial storm. You're in an emotional storm. Trouble has hit your life. And you might even think like the disciples thought at that moment, Lord, where are you? Where are you in the middle of my storm? What's going on? And it was there that they looked and they saw Jesus coming toward them, walking on the water. You say, why do I have to go through a storm? Because it's in a storm that you realize that He is Lord of every storm. And that He can come and He can speak peace to the storms of your life. So I'm going to pray for you. And if you're in a storm today, I want you to receive the peace of God. If you know Christ, peace is on the inside of you. It's not something that comes from the outside in. It's something that you already have because you have Christ. And I'm going to pray over every storm and every difficulty, everything that's challenging you right now and shaking your faith and causing you to wonder, how's this going to end up? God sees it, God knows, and He is coming towards you right now to reveal that He is Lord of the storm. Father, we come right now and we thank You, Lord, that in the midst of the storms of life, You are the one that speaks peace. And Lord, I just agree with You right now, and I release peace over every heart, Lord. Every person who is in a place, Lord, of just doubt and questioning and wondering, give them that solid rock under their feet, Lord, so that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not how it's going to end up, but they know that they are in Your hands. Lord, I pray that You would calm every fear and replace panic and anxiety with Your supernatural gift of peace, Lord. We declare blessing, prosperity, answers, and solutions to Your people. And we praise You for this in Jesus' name. And if you receive that, shout hallelujah to the Lord. Just say bless the Lord and give Him a hand clap this morning. Amen.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Well, are you ready for the Word of God? Amen. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. Your iPhone has a Bible on it. And if you don't have an iPhone, a Bible on your iPhone, we got the words right up on the screen. We're in a series of teachings. This is our third Sunday, a wrap-up Sunday for a series called The Jericho Road. Let me tell you what we've been learning about. We've been studying a beautiful story that Jesus told called The Parable of the Good Samaritan. One of the great stories. And we've been learning about getting free from our own selfish interests and getting locked into the needs and realities of people around us, loving and caring for other people. Also, the last few weeks, if you haven't been here, we've been getting updates from Pastor Mike Brock. You'll be hearing from him at the end of the service. He's our community pastor full-time now. Full-time to represent us in all these outreaches that we're doing here in our city, coordinating with me and the other staff members so we can be effective in our city. And we have a special commissioning service at the end of the service. Now, I'm going to speak for a few minutes. Mike is going to come up, and we're going to commission some people into a very special project. We always have time to pray for you. So at the end of the service, if you have a need, we're going to have some prayer counselors up here, people that you can talk to and just kind of low-key available to talk to you and help you. There's also going to be a prayer on the screen at the end of my message, and I just want to say this to you. If you have any doubt in your mind about whether you're saved, whether your sins are forgiven, if you have any concerns about whether or not you're going to heaven, I want you to pray this prayer. I want you to join me in that prayer at the end of the message, and I want you to use your faith and reach out to God and say, Lord, this is for me. I want to be saved. I want to know Christ. I want to know his power. And I believe that a miracle will take place in your heart. This is not a fanfare. There's going to be no 4th of July fireworks or anything like that. Just a simple prayer standing right where you are. Jesus, I open my heart to you. And I believe something great is going to take place in your life. Now, today I'm concluding this three-part series, as I mentioned. The message today is entitled, There to Care. I believe God is calling us to be there to care. Let's read the parable of the Good Samaritan that's found in Luke chapter 10. We'll have it up on the screen. This is a version, a scripture version called the Voice Translation. I love the way it lays this story out. You can find it in many versions of the Bible, but this is the Voice version. It goes like this. A scholar of the Hebrew Scriptures tried to trap Jesus. Scholar, teacher, what must I do to experience the eternal life? Jesus, what is written in the Hebrew Scriptures? How do you interpret their answer to your question? Scholar, you shall love. Love the Eternal One, your God, with everything you have, all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now that line from the Hebrew Scriptures, that law of God to love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself becomes the fulcrum of this story. It goes on. Jesus says, perfect. Your answer is correct. Follow these commands and you will live. The scholar was frustrated by this response because he was hoping to make himself appear smarter than Jesus. Good luck with that one. So the scholar says, ah, but who is my neighbor? And then the story unfolds. This fellow was traveling down from Jerusalem, Jesus said, to Jericho. That's the Jericho Road that we're talking about. Traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho when some robbers mugged him. They took his clothes, beat him to a pulp, and left him naked and bleeding and in critical condition. By chance, a priest was going down that same road, and when he saw the wounded man, he crossed over to the other side and passed by. Then a Levite, a temple minister, was on his way to assist in the temple. He also came and saw the victim lying there, and he too kept his distance. Then a despised Samaritan journeyed by. When he saw the fellow, he felt compassion for him. The Samaritan went over to him, stopped the bleeding, applied some first aid, and put the poor fellow on his donkey. He brought the man to an inn and cared for him through the night. The next day, the Samaritan took out some money, 2 days' wages to be exact, and paid the innkeeper, saying, please take care of this fellow. And if this isn't enough, I'll repay you next time I pass through. Now, which of these three, the priest, the Levite, the despised Samaritan, which of these three proved himself a neighbor to the man who had been mugged by the robbers? Scholar. The one who showed mercy to him, Jesus. Well then, go and behave like that Samaritan. Great story, right? Isn't that incredible? Jesus was a master storyteller. He knew how to paint a picture before an audience. And his audience were Hebrew scholars, very intelligent people. And he made them with their trick questions and all of that. And I mean, Jesus could hold his own against anybody intellectually. These guys that were the type of people, just like the Hebrew scholars in this story, that would walk right past a broken person. And he made them, in essence, gently, he made them the buffoons of the story. And he made the Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were like a rival race. This story actually addresses race issues and prejudice, because the Jews were a very proud people, and rightly so. They have a beautiful culture. They weren't so crazy about the Samaritans, who they considered half-breeds, and they were despised and kind of wannabes, and the way they worshiped was not good. They were the product of the Jewish captivity and intermarriage, and kind of a historically despised people. But Jesus chooses a Samaritan to be the hero of the story. And he puts pressure on their prejudice and their preconceptions, and he shows them, listen, doesn't matter, really matter where you're from, how great your race or your nation or your history or how much you know about God. Really, the bottom line is what you do to help other people. That's the real moral of the story. And so Jesus kind of expresses all this and tells them this picture. And here we are 2,000 years later discussing this story, still inspired to live that kind of a life. Now, the message that I want to just key in, there's so many things we could talk about in this story. Namely, that Jesus Christ cares for you. Now, let's not forget, he's calling us to be caring people with this story. But if you look at this story in a certain way, you'll see that he's the one that came for you, because you and I were bleeding and dying on a Jericho road. You and I were spoiled by the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And it was Christ who, in essence, heals us and pays the price to redeem us and to save us, right? And so this story speaks on so many levels, but here's just a thought that I want to key in on, that the Good Samaritan was present and he was caring toward his neighbor. That really is something that I don't want any of us to forget. God is calling us to be there for other people in our lives. So how do we do that? This morning I want to give you three quick answers, and you can write this down on the notes if you want to, or just enjoy listening, but I want to give us three ways that we can be there for other people in our lives. Number one, if you want to be there for other people, you want to then prepare to get messy. If you want to be there for your family, if you want to be there for strangers, if you want to be there for people in need around you or people on the other side of the world, the bottom line is, if you're walking this Jericho road of life, you're going to encounter some messes. And you have a decision to make at that point. You can roll up your sleeves and get involved with people, which can be messy. Or you can just keep on walking and keep your hands clean. Jesus is calling us to get messy. The Good Samaritan encountered a mess. This guy is bleeding all over himself. He's covered with dirt. Maybe the Good Samaritan is thinking, you know, somebody else should deal with this. I have no training for this. This is a mess. This guy's dying. What if he dies while I'm taking care of him? Am I going to be accused of something? And what if he has a communicable disease? What if he's got Ebola? You know, is that going to get on me? And what if some of my Samaritan brethren, who aren't too crazy about the Jewish people, what if they see me helping this Jewish guy? Now I'm going to be, you know what? I can't get involved. This is a mess. This is complicated. There's a lot of stuff going on here on a lot of different levels. You know, as wonderful as it is to minister to other people, and it is great to help other people. It's a wonderful feeling. But the truth is, if we're waiting for something to be clean and easy, it's not going to happen. If you're going to get involved in the real pain of people's lives, if you're going to be a good influence in your family or in your neighborhood, you're going to have to deal with some messes, because people make messes. Earlier in the service, we dedicated my granddaughter, Chloe, Jordan April's baby. I have another grandson. Many of you have children, grandchildren. We all know how beautiful and wonderful and cute and awesome babies are. How many love babies, right? Is there anybody here that hates babies? Come on, let's just... I mean, we all love babies, right? But what they do in those diapers, oh my goodness. That's a whole nother level. I mean, babies are cute and they're awesome, but they are messy. And if you're going to have a family, you're going to have a mess. And if you're going to love other people, you're going to have a mess. And the only way you can avoid the mess is to just keep walking past the pain. Just pretend that it doesn't exist. Don't get involved. Step over it. Let that person that's bleeding and dying in your family, in your neighborhood, whatever, just step over them. Let them remain invisible. Didn't even see them. But if you're going to stop and get involved, there's blood, there's dirt, there's mess. And Jesus is saying, listen, you can handle this. This is what defines you as a person. You can be a blessing. You can help. You see, compassion moves us toward the mess. Write that down. Compassion moves us toward the mess. Now, there's a scripture in, go ahead. Compassion moves us toward the mess. They're right and I'm wrong. I was supposed to read you Proverbs 14:4. Go ahead and look at that verse. An empty stable stays clean. Scripture says, tongue in cheek, an empty stable stays clean. Everybody wants a nice, orderly environment, right? But there's not much increase when you don't have an ox. If you're gonna deal with opportunity, you have to embrace some responsibility and some mess. Now, compassion moves us toward what? The mess. If you love people, if you love children, if you love your family, you can't have your family without a mess. You can't have ministry without a mess. Life just works that way. When people get involved, stuff starts going wrong. And God is calling us to honor and love and serve all people, even the ones that irritate us. Even the ones that make a mess. You want to be there for others, prepare to get messy. Number two, here's the second piece. If you want to be there for other people, you have to decide to be available. You may not be highly trained, you may not be highly skilled, but you've got to be available. There's got to be some time in your life. The Good Samaritan could have said, hey, I'm too busy. I have a schedule to keep. I wonder if that's what the temple priest was, the temple servants and the priests were saying. You know, I got to get to church. I got stuff to do. Today's my day. It's the third Tuesday of the month. I'm on. I can't stop for this guy bleeding all over me. He took the time that was scheduled probably for something else, and he made himself available. Everybody say available. Available. Let me tell you something about true ministry. True ministry is rarely convenient. Everybody's looking for a convenient ministry. Well, I've got every third Tuesday night between 6:45 and 9 o'clock set aside, but in case I'm out of town, then it would not be okay. And then, right, if my sister-in-law is visiting, then it's off. However, during those two times of the year, for 12 minutes, I am available. And I want to be in ministry. Here's what we've got to learn. There is no ministry that is convenient to our schedules. And ministry really isn't something you schedule in anyway. I mean, there are some responsibilities, rehearsals, and, you know, thank God for our worship team. They get up, they come here early on Sunday morning, they practice, they're here on Thursday. You know, there's responsibilities. You join children's ministry or youth ministry, you got to show up, right, as best you can. But real ministry isn't just scheduled events. It's a life that you lead. It's walking down the Jericho Road on your way, minding your own business, doing whatever you were going to do. And then encountering, whoa, I didn't know this was going to happen. And just being available in that moment. Doesn't mean your whole life has to change. But you've got to offer some time for true ministry. I think a lot of times we overcomplicate ministry. We get spooked about ministry because we think, you know, I can't get involved because it's going to consume me. But real ministry is actually pretty simple. I'll never forget a seminar that I went to down in Phoenix at a church that does a lot of outreaches, and we went down to study them. We took some of our pastors. I think Pastor John and a few others were with me, and one of the workshops caught our attention, how to start a food ministry. I said, well, that sounds good. I'd like to start a food ministry, feed the poor. And the guy that was leading the seminar, he started it off in a very serious tone. He said, all right, now I'm going to give you guys the steps. You have to follow these steps exactly. Do exactly what I tell you to do. If you want to start a food ministry, here's how you do it. Get a pencil, write this down. Are you ready? And we were just like, what's the guy going to say? Oh, this sounds complicated. He said, number one, step one, get food. That's the first step to building a food ministry. Number two, step two, are you writing this down? He said, locate hungry people. How many want to guess what step three was? Give food to hungry people. He said, now, if you follow those three steps, you are in the food ministry. And I, you know, it was liberating because for so many of us, we just make it so complicated. We just make it like, oh my gosh, my whole world is going to change if I just take on one little piece of responsibility. It's really quite simple. Jesus said, as you go, cleanse the lepers. As you go, heal the sick. Keep walking down the road. You don't have to quit school. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to put off your marriage. Do all those things that you're supposed to do in life. Those are all the right things, right? But as you do that, be available for people because you're walking this road. I hear this all the time. Well, I can't do it now because I'm about to be married, and I can't do it after I get married because I'll be just newly married. And I can't do it while I'm in school because I'm in school. And I can't do it before I go to school because I'm preparing to go to school. And so, and I can't do it because I'm a senior citizen. I don't, you know, I'm retired. I can't, that whole time of my life is gone. And then other people say, I can't do it because I'm young. I'm just a teenager. I got no, you know, that's not my time. Well, when is your time? Ministry is not an appointment. It's not a schedule. It's a life that you lead as you're walking down the Jericho Road. When you see a need, you just help out. How many can understand what I'm saying? So there, don't make it overcomplicated. I'm challenging us to be available, but really I'm not saying quit our jobs or, you know, get, you know, go into full-time ministry. For some of you, that is your call. But don't think that Jesus hasn't called you to do something just because you're not in full-time ministry. You might think, well, I'm not prepared. I haven't had any training. I haven't been to Bible school. How could I help a bleeding person? I don't have a medical degree. I'm not a doctor, for heaven's sakes. Right? Somebody else with training should help this guy. He's bleeding. He's dying, right? I don't have the training. Do you know that the people that spread the gospel through the world in the first century were not people of high training? They were not, you know, the Bible says this in Acts chapter 4, even concerning Peter and John. People were amazed when they saw the boldness of these great leaders, Peter and John, because they could see that they were what kind of men, church? Who? Circle that word, ordinary. These were ordinary men, people like you and me. These were fishermen. These were not theologians. They didn't have PhD after their name. They were the guys out on the boats that smelled like tuna. And Jesus calls them, and because they're available, they say yes, and God starts working with them. Now, they had a secret. There's a secret behind changing people's lives and being used by the Lord. What was their secret? Can you tell from the verse? They were men who had been where? With Jesus. They knew Jesus. They had his heart. How many of you know Jesus and you have his heart? So you're qualified to love somebody. You're qualified to care. You're qualified to pray with someone. You're qualified. Don't overcomplicate the process of God using your life. Ministry is much more about our availability than it is about our ability. Can you write that down? Ministry is much more about our availability than it is about our ability. There's a Jericho Road mission field right on your campus, right at your workplace. Your Jericho Road takes you right through, right at Thanksgiving and Christmas with your family members. That's where the Jericho Road goes. It's a chance to love. It's a chance to care. It's a chance to heal. Here's the last piece of this. if you want to be there for other people, you've got to be prepared to get messy. You've got to be available. And then third, you've got to learn to be practical. Everyone say practical. You know, Jesus is very practical. A lot of his followers are super spiritual. But Jesus is very practical. He's the perfect blend of spirituality and naturalness. You've all heard that phrase, you're so heavenly minded, right? You know, it's like, what? I used to hate that. It's like, you don't want me to be heavenly minded. Of course, the Bible says I should be heavenly minded. But you can be so heavenly minded, you're always up in spiritual things like prayer and all of that, that really nothing else actually happens. What if the Good Samaritan had just breathed a prayer over this guy and kept on moving? What if he had loosed a little deliverance or prophecy or healing and they just kind of kept on going? That would be ridiculous. If you want to help people, you have to be practical in addressing their needs. This Good Samaritan addressed the medical needs of this guy. He didn't go straight into deliverance and high-powered spiritual warfare and all kinds of counseling and guided imagery and all the kinds of things. It was like, hey, this guy's bleeding. Somebody, let's get a tourniquet. Now, you know that I believe in all that stuff. Our church is very prophetic. We're very apostolic. We're very into prayer and all of that. But there's a side of gospel work. There's a side of being a church that's not just purely spiritual. Some people say, listen, I only do the spiritual. Don't ask me to get involved with people. I'll do the praying. I'll do the planning. I'll do the administrating. As long as I don't have to talk to anybody or touch anybody or get any mess on me. I don't do blood. But Jesus is saying, listen, you got to do the practical. Nobody is exempt from the practical. James chapter 2, the brother of the Lord, writes this. If you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved, and you say, good morning, friend. Be clothed in Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup, where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? This is the story of the Good Samaritan. This is the Jericho Road. This is it. It's practical. It's helping people. Why are we doing Thanksgiving turkeys? Are we all caught up in Thanksgiving? No. We're just being practical. We're just helping people where they're hurting. A little lift, a little help, a little hope. This is what it's all about. God's calling us to be practical in our lives. Now, let me ask you this. What if your next ministry assignment, think about this. What if your next ministry assignment from the Lord would be a practical responsibility? What if God was asking you, instead of doing something that we call traditionally spiritual, what if God just changed it up a little bit and gave you an assignment of helping someone move or giving someone a ride to their dialysis appointment or bringing them groceries? Just not spiritual, just basic. Would you be willing to embrace that assignment? Or would you look down on that assignment? Would you say, you know, that's way below my gifting and my abilities. I'm a prophet. I'm apostolic. Now, God is wanting us to be all those things as well as being practical. And I think it starts as we walk down that Jericho Road and where God is calling us, caring for kids, feeding hungry people, sweeping the youth room and passing out clothes and opening your home for a small group. May not strike you as super spiritual, but it might be just the thing that God is calling you to do to make a difference in the world. And wouldn't it be nice just to do simple things for Jesus once in a while? Just to do simple things for the Lord that are practical. I believe that God is hatching many ministries in our lives. I'm going to bring this message to a close. Jesus is calling us to be there, to really care for people. Everyone is included in this story. This is not for pastors. This is not for us to have the ministry of referral. You know, well, I'll just pass you on to this guy. I'll send you this department. I'll put you over here with this specialist. No, all of us have to embrace the needs of our family, of our friends, of strangers that we meet on the road. Maybe not every single time, but we've got to be led by the Spirit. And if we're not helping ever, we're missing something about the story of the Good Samaritan. Pastor Mike and the worship team are going to come right now, and we're going to have a few special moments. As I said, we're going to move into a kind of a prayer and worship mode in a few minutes, but I'm so proud of what's about to happen here. Pastor Mike, our community pastor, would you welcome him? And let's flow into this.
Thank you, Pastor David. It's been wonderful the last 3 weeks walking down this Jericho road with you. I was thinking, wouldn't it be great? I know Gateway's known as a teaching church. We're known as a worshiping church. We're known as a praying church. Wouldn't it be great to be known as an outreach church?
Come on, yes.
And our men's ministry and our women's ministry and our youth and our young adults and all that we do be reaching out to our community, touching and blessing people. Amen? Today's a really wonderful day. While I talk, I'm going to invite Pastor Danny Sanchez to come on up here.
Awesome.
Beautiful wife can join you. Come on up here. We never get to see you. Let's give them a hand. Pastor Danny and his wife, they lead a ministry called the City Peace Project, and we've partnered with them to commission Gateway chaplains into the Edenville community. And I want to introduce you to those chaplains with Ross and Sandy Miller. Come on up here. Let's give them a big hand.
Ross and Sandy.
Jason and Gracie Bocanegra, come on up here. And so here's the deal. We are going into a crime-impacted neighborhood that needs some help, needs a lift. They need resources, both physical, spiritual, and emotional needs in the neighborhood. And so we've decided, and these couples, these are elders in our church, they've decided that they're going to take up their call and say, we're going to go into the neighborhood. We're going to meet these needs. They're going to go on about 2 to 3 times a week for a couple of hours, walk the streets, pray with people, talk to people, and just get involved. Get a little messy, if you will, and just start serving the neighborhood and serving the community. We're so proud of them. And today we're going to commission them as a church. And before we do that, I want to say this. We have a meeting coming up on the 13th at 7 p.m. If we send these guys out alone, that's going to be great. But how many of you guys know we need to do this together as a church?
Right, right.
For every one of these chaplains, we need small groups behind them. We need resources. We need bus drivers. We need food people. We need to reach out as an entire church together. And I'm challenging you to say, let's get on this Jericho road together and let's do the work of the ministry together as a church. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor
Amen.
David.
I'm very, very happy. I'm so excited about what I see coming to our church. You know, just the same way we have a youth pastor who runs youth ministry and touching hundreds of kids. We have a music pastor running music ministry, touching hundreds of lives. We have a community pastor now, full-time, running our outreach into our city, leading the charge with We Love This City. One of the first things that's happening is that we're mobilizing these people into broken neighborhoods, neighborhoods that are not working well. You know, I was telling the first service, this one particular neighborhood that we're going to in Edenville, there's a major church, I mean a big church, right in the middle of it. And we thought, you know, with all the, you know, people are getting shot and there's kids out on the street and chaos everywhere in this certain part of this Edenville neighborhood. And thought, well, let's see if we can partner up with this church, see if we can get something going. We went and knocked on the door. They told us we don't want anything to do with these people in this neighborhood. They literally lock their doors during the day. The crime is so bad. They say, we're not going to partner with you. In contrast to that, Cathedral of Faith, another great church in San Jose, they heard about what we're doing. And they said, listen, let us partner with you guys. We'll bring our trucks. We'll come from the other side of the city. We'll bring food. We'll bring clothes. We want to make a difference in the city. And I just looked back and I thought, you know, there really are two kinds of churches, aren't there? There's one church that locks its doors and says, keep those messy people out of here. And there's another church that says, let's saddle up and ride. Amen. And what I see happening in our church and in life-giving churches across our cities. They're saying, let's saddle up and ride. We cannot lose another family. We cannot have another shooting. We got to get involved. And so let's really believe. You did this once before in the service. Would you stretch your hands out toward these special people who are they're making themselves available for this. Let's connect with them. Let's back them with our faith and our prayers. And let's say, Jesus, we're stretching out our hands in faith, believing that you're going to use these lives. Father, we thank you for people that are willing to say yes. We thank you for how you have moved in the Millers and in the Boca Negras. We thank you for Pastor Danny and his ministry, the City Peace Project, his beautiful wife standing with him. We thank you for Pastor Mike. We thank you, Lord, for the Boca Negras. We ask, Lord, that you would raise up another 100 families just like them to reach out to every hurting. Wherever there is pain in this city, Lord, help us to place chaplains. Help us to connect, Lord, not just to come in and then go out never to be seen again, but to build relationship and trust, to be a part of that community and to channel hope and life in. We just release them. We commission them now for this great work, and our prayers and our blessing is with them. And we say this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you give them a hand? Your City Peace Chaplains for Edenvale. Where are we going next, Pastor Danny? Where are we going next, man? Let's go. Let's go. Let's go wherever the pain is. Amen. And just a quick reminder, if you want to be a part of stuff like this, if this kind of rings your chime, all right, there's a meeting on Thursday. I want to say Friday, but it's Thursday, the 13th, right in our cafe. So you can meet Pastor Mike and be a part of that. Let's give them one more hand. Amen. Thank you, guys. Beautiful. Would you stand with me? We're just going to have a little Holy Spirit time. And you know, if the message has blessed you, maybe you're a person that just needs healing right now. But I believe in your song, there's healing. Let's worship the Lord together just for a few moments.
Follow you into the homes of the broken. Follow you into the world. Poor and the weary, God, I follow you into the world.
Stand together.
I follow you into the homes of the broken. I follow you into the world. Meet the needs of the poor and the weary, God, I follow you.
I'll follow you.
I follow you into the homes of the broken. Follow you into the world. Meet the needs for the poor and the weary, God. Follow you into the world.
And I'll give.
I'll give all myself. I give all myself. I'll give all myself to you.
Come on, church. This is our prayer this morning. I give myself to you.
I give all myself. And I give all myself. Follow you into the world. give all myself. I give all myself to you.
One more time, I give all myself. This is our prayer.
And I give all myself. I give all myself.
I give
all myself.
Yes,
to you.
Father, I thank you how you speak to us through your Holy Spirit. There's never condemnation in it. There's never guilt in it. Always just life and hope. Always just lifting. You never judge us, Lord. You love us. You've come to save us and heal us. And Lord, when you look down upon us and we're the ones bleeding on that Jericho road, we're the ones that have been sideswiped and the thief has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus, your promise is that you came to give us life and life more abundant. I pray for every person in this room that feels the pain, the hurt of how life has just sideswiped them. I don't think anyone here wanted to make mistakes. I don't think anyone here wanted to, but we ended up, Lord, broken. Our own mistakes, our own sins, our own failures. Lord, would you pour in the oil and wine? Would you heal us? Would you close up our wounds? Would you pick us up and carry us, Lord? And would you show us how to follow you? I pray for broken homes. I pray, Lord, for broken marriages. I pray for sick people that are aching in their body. I'm asking, Lord, that your mighty healing touch would be right where it's needed the most. Amazing grace. We once were blind, but now we see. We were lost, but now we're found. Lord, lift us, I pray. Let faith be released in every one of our lives. And I thank you for this. Just look right at me. I mentioned earlier in the service that I want to put a prayer up on the screen. I don't know if you're a Baptist or a Buddhist or you first time here today or if you've been coming forever. But this one thing I know, there's a hunger, a spiritual hunger in every person's life to know that there's something beyond this life. That when we die, we'll be with God in heaven. And Christ offers us this help and healing now and the hope of eternity. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If there's any doubt in your mind about whether you're saved, whether you know God, or if you've been walking with him for a long time, I'm going to invite you to say this prayer out loud. It's up on the screen. I believe there's a little bit of confession in this prayer. There's a little bit of healing in this prayer. There's a little bit of invitation in this prayer. God, come and help me. I give you my life. And God will meet you right where you are, whatever your need is. Let's say this prayer aloud together. We're going to lift our voice together. Father God, thank you for the love you've shown me through your Son, Jesus. I confess that so often I've been unavailable, afraid, isolated. I don't want to live for myself anymore. Save me and forgive me, Lord. Fill me with your grace and love for others. In Christ's name, amen. I know that God is a God who hears our prayers. The Bible says he bends his ear down when we pray. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Something great has happened in your life as you've opened your heart to the Lord. I'm just so glad we could be together today. I encourage you in your faith, continue on in your pursuit of God. Keep walking on this Jericho road. Don't have to cancel too many plans. Just keep walking, but watch for people as you go and let the Lord use you. Amen. I love each and every one of you. Take a minute, high five somebody, fist bump them, you know, say hello. And if you need prayer, you can just make your way toward the front and people here, these prayer teams will pray with you. Don't forget our meeting this Thursday night in the cafe. God bless everybody.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408 281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.